In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is a very interesting and challenging verse, or number of verses in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, we find ourselves on the farm with sheep and with shepherds. And one of the things that we have to remember about these verses in John chapter 10 is that they're connected to the previous scene in John chapter 9. A scene where sinfulness is discussed. A scene where sinfulness is highlighted. First, the disciples wonder if the man's blindness in John chapter 9 is caused by sin, or at least is it caused by the sin of his parents. And Jesus dismisses that suggestion altogether in John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. And later the Pharisees use sin as a way to discredit the testimony of the man who has received sight by the miracle that Jesus gave to him in healing. And they use sin to dismiss Jesus and his miracles as well. So just to keep those thoughts in mind, if you can, as we discover what it means to have life, abundant life now. Within these 10 verses, I believe, beats the dynamic heartbeat of the gospel. Nowhere else does Jesus express the intent of his mission and ministry more clearly than in the verses, or in the verse, actually, at the end of this passage, and that is in verse 10, and it says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." In contrast to all that would rob us of life this morning, the thieves and the bandits, Jesus comes to give not just life, but he comes to give life in abundance. Not just survival this morning, but to flourish. Not just to get by, but to thrive. Not just to exist, but to have joy. Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it in abundance," or have it abundantly. Jesus offers in totality this morning more life than most of us can understand or see, imagine or see the possibility of this morning. So the question is, why are we satisfied with the default positions of this life? Why as Christians do we just survive this life? Why as Christians are we so negative at times or so critical? Why as Christians are we content just to get by, just to exist? My friends, a life in Christ offers abundance. It offers flourishing. A life in Christ offers thriving and joy. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that. I crave for that. So let's explore together this amazing passage on what it means to have abundant life in Jesus. There are three things that I noticed, three things that stand out in this passage, in these 10 verses. First, there's surprisingly little talk of sin in this passage. Jesus doesn't say, "I came because there are a bunch of sinners in need of forgiveness." Rather, he says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So don't get me wrong this morning, I do believe that all of our lives and actions and our very being is tainted by sin. All of us are truly in need of a Saviour this morning. But as I read this passage, or that of other central passages, for instance in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have his everlasting life." When I read passages like this, I'm struck that the active language isn't always sin and forgiveness, but the active language is life and light. The active language is love and abundance, which leads me to wonder, have we narrowed how we understand and talk about the salvation that Jesus brings? Have we narrowed that down? Jesus says, all who enter by me will be saved. We have adopted a largely negative view on salvation. Salvation often is understood as a removal or deletion of our sins and failure. But here Jesus tells us that salvation is the creation of new life. Salvation is the creation of possibility. And don't get me wrong, forgiveness is wonderful. The forgiveness of sins is a wonderful thing. I have personally experienced that release, the lifting of my burden, the lifting of my sin. But if that's all we understand salvation to be, the removal and the deletion of sin, then we're back to square one. We've missed what Jesus is offering. Jesus offers not just life, but life in its abundance. But this is the heart of the gospel this morning. The heart of the gospel is the resurrection promise of life. And the resurrection promise of life means possibility. The resurrection promise of life means potential and power. So here's the big idea this morning, that we are not only saved from something, but more importantly, we are saved for something. And that is life in all its abundance, here and now. The second thing I noticed in our passage is, although abundant life isn't defined by Jesus, it comes right after the healing of the blind man, or the man born blind. And so, to understand John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, we have to locate it in, or connect it to, the story that follows. And that story that follows is the story in John chapter 9, and that story is the healing of the blind man, or the man born blind. For the man born blind, abundant life is sight. It's freedom from the dependence of others. It's freedom from begging, from welfare, from poor life choices. Abundant life for the blind man is the freedom of light and new opportunity. So the story of Jesus healing the blind man invites us to imagine that abundant life. What is it? How does it look? And perhaps salvation itself, which is highly circumstantial. Salvation in this scripture is contextual. For the blind man, salvation is his sight. For the single parent, it might be companionship and help. For the outsider, it might be acceptance and advocacy. For the impoverished neighborhood, it might be dignity and a chance for self-determination. For the retiree, it might be the opportunity to be involved in a worthwhile cause. I think we could tell even more stories and come up with more examples. But the enduring point is this. Abundant life looks different in every place and different to every person. However, abundant life always manifests itself as a response to whatever seeks to rob the children of God of their inheritance, to whatever seeks to rob the children of God of their purpose and their joy. So if you're an angry person, if you're a critical person, if you're a vengeful person, if you're a negative person, if you're a cynical person, if you're a person who tells lies to impress other people, then you're being robbed of abundant life. You're being robbed of your godly inheritance. You're being robbed of your purpose and your joy. Thirdly, if these two things are true, number one, that salvation is more than forgiveness, but is abundant life itself. And number two, abundant life is circumstantial. It is defined by our release of whatever is robbing us of God's joy and God's purpose. If that is true, then this passage offers a profound invitation to all of us this morning. And that invitation is for all of us not to simply listen to Jesus' promises of salvation and abundant life, but to actually live into it. To actually live into it day by day. So how do we do that? We do it by joining ourselves with Jesus' mission. A mission that is defined and determined to bring abundant life to God's children. That means, of course, that we must first pay attention to what is robbing the children of God. And that starts with you and it starts with me. Now, it will require some self-reflection this morning. Self-reflection that asks, am I a cynical person? Am I a negative person? Am I a critical person? Do I lie to promote myself and to put others down? Am I an angry person? Do I fly off the handle? Do I seethe and hold grudges? This exercise of self-reflection is not limited to any one of those issues that I've just mentioned. There are many other things that we could self-reflect upon. And the practice of self-reflection this morning is not easy. It's not an easy road to walk. But here's my point this morning. And I'm speaking to myself as well. We must first pay attention to what is robbing us. And then stand against those forces. So that we might have not just life, but life in abundance. My purpose as your vicar, my purpose as your preacher this morning, is to help you experience that abundant life that Jesus promises. My job is to explode and expand your vision of abundant life. But it all starts by listening and following the voice of Jesus, and not the voice of the thieves and the bandits. And you know who they are. Abundant life isn't simply a promise about some distant eternal future. Abundant life is a concrete invitation to discover the fullness of life right now. Salvation isn't only the forgiveness of sins. Salvation is also being commissioned by Jesus to help others experience abundant life in their settings. And church isn't a place where we go to hear about abundant life. The church is a place where we're sent out to experience and share this abundant life to the world that God loves so much. So my prayer this morning for everyone is that you would live into Jesus' promises, even here and even now. And what strikes me about this passage is that salvation and abundant life, just like happiness, aren't goals to strive for. Salvation and abundant life are byproducts of following Jesus, of living your life into Jesus. Jesus, the one who opened the eyes of the blind, the one who fed the hungry, the one who comforted the distraught, and everywhere and always he witnessed the universal and unending love of God. This Jesus is the one we follow, the one who we live into. Amen.
Amen.
To God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be honour, glory, might, power, and dominion, now and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.